And this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. This is Sue Hildebrand, and The Real Issue is a public affairs talk show. We're here every Wednesday night from 6 until 7 p.m., and we can be heard live through the internet at kzfr.org. You can also listen to our website, our archives right at the website. Tonight on The Real Issue, we revisit the Oroville Dam situation. Since the evacuation of almost 200,000 people on February 12th because of the threat of the failure of the emergency spillway, many questions and concerns have come to light about safety, about funding, and about the environmental impacts of Oroville Reservoir. Immediately following the evacuation, water policy analyst with Aqua Alliance, Jim Brobeck, shared information about the history of the dam project and raised many questions that need answers. Thankfully, a catastrophic failure did not happen, but these questions still need answers. To get an update on the dam repairs, as well as answering some of those lingering questions, joining me in the studio is one of the more outspoken members of the Butte County Board of Supervisors. Supervisor Bill Connolly has been speaking and writing a lot since the evacuation in an effort to fight for the community he represents. Also back in the studio with me, once again, is Aqua Alliance water policy analyst Jim Brobeck. I'm happy to welcome both of you to The Real Issue.
So glad you have this program, Sue. It's a privilege to be here. Thanks.
And this is from Bill Connolly, and thank you for listening to our point of view here at Butte County.
And so I want to just mention to listeners, Supervisor Connolly and Jim Brobeck are here for the entire hour. And if you want to join the conversation, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can always give us a call at 895-1114. You can also send an email to Sue, S-U-E, at kzfr.org. You can join us at any point. So, Supervisor Connolly, I want to start. Give us a general update on the situation and specifically the spillway repair, and even if you could give us an update on the power plant.
We're told by DWR, which frankly the community doesn't have much trust in now for many reasons that we could talk about later, that they're going to dredge out the diversion pool so they can get five of the six turbines running, and that would avoid using the regular spillway and using it to a lesser degree. We're grateful for that. We hope they do that, but I want to point out that they put us into the position we're at. They ignored the fact that there's 170 to 180% of snowfall, and there's warm rain coming, and they didn't lower the dam. And they are the ones, DWR, i.e. the water contractors, that increased the flows over the regular spillway to the point that it destroyed it, and then in an emergency scenario decided to use the catastrophic spillway, the emergency spillway, not an alternative spillway, to spill excess water, which put us all at risk. So my point is that we trust but verify.
Supervisor Connolly, I have to say I thought we were going to ease right into that, but we're going out of the blocks fighting. I love that. So you said there's a lot of distrust with DWR, Department of Water Resources, at this point. If you could, I was at a public forum that you hosted last week, and you allowed community members to simply stand up and share their experience and their concerns and their questions and those kinds of things. There is a huge distrust of the Department of Water Resources.
Well, I think that the people are not naive, and to try to keep them in the dark and not give up-to-date reports, which are, thankfully, our Sheriff Corey Honey insisted upon and actually got towards the end before the evacuation, we don't trust them. I mean, these are the same people that almost flooded us 20 years ago, 1997. Although I'll give them credit, there was three times the flow there was this incident. They don't seem to have learned from that. Beyond that, think about this. They opened the river valve to a point that it put five people in the hospital, one permanently disabled. They've burned down the powerhouse out there between the forebay and the afterbay. It's still not online after 4 years. And so how, and then when the spillway broke, they started changing the regular spillway from 175,000 cubic feet per second that they were going for. It broke at 170. They started announcing that, oh, it was at 150. Then it was at 100. And I even heard 55,000 out of Sacramento. So this distrust is based on their devious behavior in the past. And we want to hold them accountable in the future to tell us the truth and let us make an educated guess about where we're at in the situation. And I'll talk about that later. We got 180% of snowpack right now.
Well, I want to talk about it all at the same time. One more question for you at this moment, Supervisor Connolly. Is it safe?
We're safe as long as if you believe in nature or God's on our side. We have 180% of snowpack in the Feather River Basin. All the lakes are full. And we could not take a warm rain in a consistent manner on that. They couldn't spill the water. They couldn't move it. They would be using the emergency spillway, which is actually a catastrophic spillway. It's not controlled. I think just to be positive that we're kind of over the hump, but man's not in control at this time.
Mm-hmm. And I want to pull Jim Brobeck into this conversation. Jim Brobeck, if you could give us a quick update. One of the things that I was reading in the last, I think this morning, about when the water was basically turned off in order to repair the spillway, a lot of the water in the river suddenly disappeared, leaving a lot of fish there in the banks. And I was reading that some of the levees were starting to crumble for various reasons. Give us an update on the environmental impact of what happened over the last month.
It's impossible at this point to determine what that is. Obviously, a lot of fish died in this incident. Some of them were washed out into the floodplain. Some of those fish were recovered by the valiant efforts of fish and wildlife people with buckets. I'm sure millions of fish were lost. I'm very worried about the level of sediment and turbidity. I'm curious about the mineral content of the spoils that came off of that hillside on the not just the emergency spillway, but the established regular spillway that decomposed under the pressure because it wasn't maintained. Because even though they knew there were cracks in it, they let it go. They didn't even inspect it last year in any detailed fashion. And as soon as they started spilling a good amount of water down it, the thing decomposed, blasted out the side, washed off the top layer of dirt, and then once it hit the green rock, when I've seen pictures that DWR has posted, it looks like it put 50 to 60 foot ravines into solid rock. And when they once they turned the water off, coming off the spillway, the spoils at the bottom, the entire delta of spoils, was this bright green material. So I'm putting out a call to geologists. Some geologists from Chico State University are looking into it, and the Butte County Air Quality Management District is looking into it because the workers down there are being exposed to the dust. We don't know for sure what that green rock is at this point. Mm-hmm. Is it? I thought it was serpentine. I've been assured it's not serpentine, which carries asbestos. It could be green schist, which carries an especially nasty form of asbestos that is so bad that they can't use it industrially, but it's extremely hazardous. And another geologist I talked to calmed my worries a bit, saying that he thought it was just green rock, which didn't have such toxic contents. So the environmental issues have yet to be determined. Of course, the established fish hatchery that Anna Kastner is the director of had to be completely moved over to the other side of the of that levee that holds up the after bay. And apparently they saved a lot of fish, but it wasn't designed for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to have an impact on the fish hatchery this year, on the fish hatchery success. And I think the major environmental problems are yet to be determined if the spring snowmelt is not controlled, because the work they're doing right now, frankly, is a bunch of BS. You know, they spent a week with helicopters trying to fill some of the cracks in the so-called emergency spillway with these bags of rocks. And now they're out there putting gunite underneath the lip of the damaged spillway. But they're going to have to use that thing once the snow starts melting, because the powerhouse is just turning off and on. Even at full capacity, it might not be able to handle the amount of water that's going to be coming off of the Feather River watershed. So I'm very concerned. Our sheriff has made sure that the residents of Oroville and downstream are still on standby, because he knows this emergency is not necessarily over. Both Bill and I are praying that we have a more gentle snow melt this year, so that the people don't have to be inconvenienced, that's putting it mildly, having to abandon their homes and businesses.
Well, I want to get to the snow melt, but Jim Brobeck, I want to kind of throw it out there while you're talking about your environmental concerns. In an article that appeared in the Chico News and Review, came out on February 16th, Congressman Doug LaMalfa said that the rebuilding might require cutting some corners. And he said, and I'm quoting, Doug LaMalfa says, "My fear is that some environmental organization might come out and say, oh, we need to account for the erosion and this and that, or that the construction might cause some silt to come out and affect some fishing or something," end quote. Jim, I would put you in the environmental group. What's the concern that he has? What's the concern that you have in response?
Doug LaMalfa is not a big fan of environmental review, to be sure, and either is the Department of Water Resources or the Bureau of Reclamation. They would like to streamline all these projects, and Doug LaMalfa seems to be totally aligned, in my opinion, with the Department of Water Resources. His recollection of living in Oroville as a child is way different than Bill's. I hope Bill gets to express what he experienced before that dam was built, because it is really, moving. It literally moved me to tears to read what Bill had when he was a kid. While LaMalfa, at a recent meeting at the Mountain Counties Water Resources Association event, he was there with Representative McClintock and State Senator Jim Nielsen. And if I may, here's a quote from Doug LaMalfa. "I was born and grew up in Oroville, and as Sarah Palin has been known to say," I'm paraphrasing, "I can see the dam from my front window." We've taken a very big interest in what's going on there. So I've asked all the questions I could of DWR folks, and I'm not here to be an apologist for DWR or the Army Corps of Engineers or the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission or anybody else. I represent the people, and I wanted them to get straight answers. But they had to be prepared, and that's what we're all about, preparedness. The emergency spillway itself is sound. Say what, Doug? The emergency spillway is sound? Obviously, the main spillway itself has issues, but it's been functional enough. What? I can't believe he's saying this. They've done a pretty good job post-breakage of managing the crisis. Our job will be to make sure there's no hemming and hawing on getting that dam rebuilt. No lawsuits, no lengthy permits or red tape processes. The winds have changed in Washington, D.C. There's a completely different direction after 8 years. It's part of how the system of government in this country, smooth transition of power. So Doug LaMalfa is pretty sure that the new administration is just going to dump all environmental regulations and slap a little bit of concrete paste over this well-functioning emergency spillway and the one that fell apart that was supposedly designed to withstand actual use. And even though they've been warned since 2005 during the FERC relicensing process, that Bill has been very involved with in Butte County, with our county council, Bruce Alpert has been struggling to get a good deal out of the Oroville Reservoir for Butte County. And I'm sure we'll go into what a bad deal it is for us. But they want to eliminate any red tape and just slap a bunch of gunite on this thing and say, okay, we're good to go. And it's ridiculous. It's I'm very upset about how DWR is handling. I've got another quote that I'll quote later on from Bill Croyle, who is the acting director. Where's the director at DWR? Everyone wants to know. We've got an acting director. And he's bragging about how good DWR is doing. But we'll go into that later. Our local representatives are the ones we have to count on. Butte County has filed a lawsuit.
Well, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there because we're going to get into all that. And let me just mention, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. We are talking about, we're getting an update, and we're talking about moving forward, the situation in the Oroville Dam. If you want to join this conversation, send me an email at Sue, S-U-E, at KZFR.org, or you can give us a call and join the conversation on the air, 895-1114, if you want to talk with Supervisor Bill Connolly or Water Policy Analyst Jim Brobeck. I do want to talk about all of that. I do want the both of you have mentioned the snow melt. So let's just jump right in with the snow melt. Jim Brobeck, you mentioned this idea that there is this starting in Washington, but also I think here in California, this desire to get rid of the so-called red tape, the regulations, the safety measures, the environmental measures. And I want to start with you, Supervisor Connolly, and talk about. You mentioned the safety concerns, but also let's just jump right into the snow melt. We have a lot of snow in the Sierras right now, and throughout the spring and summer, it's going to start melting. What's going to happen? Are you concerned?
I'm very concerned with the fact that we have 170 or 180% of average snowfall right now in the basin of the Feather River. Which brings up the point that we at Butte County have asked that climate change, and if you don't believe in climate change, let's say weather cycles have changed in the last 20 years or so, to where we've observed as a Butte County residents more warm rain on top of snow. And during the drought, that wasn't quite the big deal because the lake was low. So we filed a suit. And it was quickly rejected by a judge out of Yolo County, and okay, that's fine. And then we're now in a third district court of appeals saying that you need to take 21st century weather patterns into consideration. And again, you know, I admire Jim, and he's a little left of me and all that, but we have to both agree, and I will agree, that the weather patterns in the Feather River Basin have changed. We have snow with warm rain on it. And so our lawsuit actually asked DWR and the water contractors to consider that in operations of this facility for the safety of our constituents. They said it's irrelevant. That's our filing. It's irrelevant. So we're hoping the Third District Court of Appeals in Sacramento will see that climate change or weather patterns, however you want to word it, are irrelevant to the operation of this facility. So that brings us back to what happened here. You think, I'm just this common sense, self-educated guy out of Oroville. I have 170, 180% of snow in my basin, and I don't lower the lake? Now, the question is that needs to be answered with under freedom of information. I hope somebody's listening here. Did DWR and the water contractors make a deal to retain more water at the benefit of themselves and the detriment of my community? They could have drowned us. They're so lucky it didn't happen. And if you want to talk about the spillway, I grew up there. I'm 63 years old. I watched the dam build. It was finished when I was in high school. Everybody in Oroville knows the emergency spillway was never supposed to be used except in the event of a catastrophic event. It was never supposed to be meant to spill water and called it controlled. It was to save the dam. It was in the event that we're already flooding the valley. It was in the event that we couldn't control it. It was a 300 or 400 year event that couldn't be foreseen. So we get back to where we are right now. I have DWR telling me, trust me, we're here to help you. I have the water contractors trying to get out as cheap as they can. We need to hold them accountable to our safety. Safety in rebuilding the dam to 21st century. Number two, safety in operating it 21st century climate conditions.
Supervisor Connolly, you're suggesting that there's some behind the scenes deal making at the expense of this community, the community that you represent. And one of the comments that you made, I saw you at an open forum, and you have said publicly that you believe that Butte County was, quote, shortchanged at the building of this dam. Talk about what you mean by how Butte County in particular has been shortchanged as the host of this reservoir that supplies water to the entire Central Valley.
If you wanted to get into emotional things, it would be the experiences before the dam was built, what it was like to be able to go to Bidwell Bar and enjoy that, what it was like to go down to the river and swim and enjoy a great salmon run. It was varied and different than the monolithic salmon run we have. It would be going down under the Enterprise Bridge and actually sliding down moss-covered falls. All these things went away when they told us they're going to build this facility that would bring from 12 to 20 million visitors a year. We were promised that, and we voted on a water bond in Butte County. Now, I was not old enough to vote, but I'm sure my parents probably voted for it. This would be economic development for the community. We're promised a resort similar to Yosemite. Matter of fact, they retained 51% of the sewer out of Kelly Ridge so they could build that resort. It never got built. We're promised a railroad to the base of the dam, a tram up the face of the dam. We're promised to be this, again, 12 to 20 million visitors a year, this big economic boom to the community. But the reality is, after research is, when I became elected, I asked the question, what happened to the welfare rolls in Oroville after the dam was completed? They tripled in 2 years. And probably 90% of that went into Oroville because all the workers had left. Now, also DWR was privy, and the water contractors were privy to a study of Shasta Dam. And when it was completed, about the economic downturn, they never completed any of their promises to bring the recreation to offset the impacts of that. Then you go forward. Right now, 12 years ago at least, we did a study of what the impacts are on the community. It's $5.3 million out of pocket to county government to provide fire, rescue, arresting of drunk drivers, boat drivers, putting people in jail, wear and tear on our roads. The social economic impact to the community is a minimum of $5.3 million. And I got on the Board of Supervisors and said, I don't believe it. We audited it and found out it was conservative, and I have this information for you. This is not things I make up. Then we have 41,000 acres of land taken out of the tax rolls of Butte County, 41,000 acres. FERC and DWR admit that that's a minimum of $1.2 million a year. It could be as high as 6.9 bare land value, let alone the recreational opportunities or development opportunities that were destroyed by this lake being put here. We had a Big Bend power plant brought $600,000 a year in tax revenue to the citizens of Butte County, largest hydroelectric plant west of the Mississippi, inundated. In their own words, anything that was caused by the dam would be offset. They've never offered us a nickel. So I sit here telling you I knew there was an undercurrent after the dam was done as why it impoverished this community, including all of Butte County. But now I have the facts behind me. They have never, the water contractors and DWR have never offered us anything close to offsetting the impacts of this thing in that way. And then I may not agree with Jim, and I may not be as radical on the environmental concerns, but there are environmental concerns. I mean, they have actually destroyed a fishery through downtown Oroville when my grandpa could fish there, my dad could fish there, I could fish there. Now nobody can fish for salmon in the river because why? Because you built a dam and there's no offset for local people. Recreation isn't free at the lake. It's $8 to park your Harley, take it from me, to go on a houseboat and eat lunch. That's not enticing recreation. We have the parks and recreation people running it. So the more I know as an elected official representing my people, the more angry I get about how we're treated. And don't even start in about the electricity they produce. The electricity is not for the local benefit at all. We can't tax it. We can't regulate it. We look at the power lines. All the electricity is used to wheel water to a desert, which brings me to my final point, and then I'll get off my soapbox. I live in Northern California. We have lots of water. We can argue about where we got a cone of depression around Chico or Durham, but we have lots of water. We supply water to a desert. Then they tell you to brown your lawns. They tell you to do without. They tell you to do all these things. Why, they give us pennies on the dollar of what this water's worth. In my opinion, the water out of Lake Oroville should be $1,000 an acre foot so that they would start to look at conservation. They would start at looking desalinization. They would start at looking what's real in a desert and quit impacting my local community in a negative manner. I'm an angry elected old guy at 63. These people have screwed us over for 50 years, and the people need to know what's going on here.
And I'm an angry environmentalist, closely aligned with with a conservative supervisor here. Bill, I wanted to ask, compare Butte County's compensation for fire and emergency with Folsom Lake. I understand Folsom Lake's getting $4.7 million a year. How come Butte County doesn't get
because
that?
Because we're a state facility, and because the water contractors are so controlling. I'll tell you, you see the Wizard of Oz when they finally discover the guy pulling the levers? That's the water contractors in a state review. And don't even, let's move up to Shasta. Payment in lieu of taxes. Sheriff getting paid to patrol. Low-cost power. We get none of that. And when you look them right in the eye, you know why they'll tell you that? It's precedent setting. So being fair is precedent setting? Please, people, don't buy into this. We got this lake in our backyard. We're supplying water. Number one, it needs to be brought to 21st century standards and made safe. Number two, it needs to be operated 21st century weather patterns in consideration. You don't have to call it climate change, weather patterns. Number three, pay us for the impacts of this evacuation, this impact on our community, lowered our property values, made people lose contracts, made people have to stay in motels. Number four, make the county whole. Pay us what you impact us. Number five, how about some recreation you promised us? All this recreation in writing, but not in a contract. Potter's Ravine, good trails, everything that they promised us, it's never been done, and it's not going to be done until I hold them accountable. And number six, the environmental impact. And I'll join with you on this. I flew over it in a helicopter yesterday. That river's dead. It's dead from the dam to the outlet. The outlet is so brown and dirty, there's no way, in my mind, the turbidity of the water will allow salmon or trout to live. I mean, that's just common sense. We need to be paid for that impact, too.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. We're talking about the Oroville Dam. We're talking about, we've sort of moved into the politics and now the funding. If you want to join this conversation, give us a call at 895-1114, or you can send an email to sue@kzfr.org. Supervisor Bill Connolly, I have a personal rule after, about 2 years ago, I said, no more politicians. I will not have any more politicians because they won't talk to me.
Very political.
I might change my rule. At least I'll make more exceptions to that rule. So one of the things, Jim Brobeck, that Supervisor Connolly keeps bringing up is the idea of contractors, water contractors. And we have talked about this quite often on this program, and that's a lot of what you educate the public about. So I hate to say who's to blame, who's responsible, but, you know, whatever, let's go for it. Who is responsible? Talk about what Supervisor Connolly is talking about in terms of the water contractors. Give us the big picture. Give us sort of the politics of water in California and the fact that we are in one of the poorest counties in California with a ton of water.
It's been my observation that areas that are rich in natural resources often fall under the control of oligarch-like entities that consolidate the ownership of the resource in such a way that it can be expropriated by only paying off very few people. That certainly happened in Northern California, as the forests had been consolidated under the ownership of a single family, the Emerson family. And as far as the water goes, we've got very wealthy senior water rights holders up here. And the Feather River, we've got numerous water contractors that take advantage of the Oroville Reservoir water, including Representative LaMalfa with LaMalfa Farms. The Department of Water Resources that runs this operation and the contractors who fund it, along with some of our taxpayer money, decided in 2005 to ignore warnings that the massive earth spillway adjacent to the dam itself would erode during heavy winter rains. That's what happened. And the water agencies, including the powerful Metropolitan Water District of Southern California and the irrigators who pay fees to this, want to keep their costs down. They argue that paying for upgrades a decade ago was unnecessary. And this is in spite of very detailed comments from the Friends of the River, the Sierra Club, and a group called CIRCLE, the South Yuba River League, I think it is. And they said, and this is a quote from a comment they did during the FERC relicensing that started in 2005, that Butte County has been, we've been trying to get a deal since then. So we're with them on this. They said, a single operational use with failure to repair any preceding or cumulative damage of the ungated spillway would result in a loss of crest control of the Oroville Dam. You can imagine what loss of crest control. I mean, we almost mm-hmm. hit that the other mm-hmm. day when that when they were putting it over the weir that is the so-called emergency spillway, which was not at all. They should have armored it. Friends of the River said, you need to armor this thing. A dirt spillway is not going to work. They said that this will cause damages and threaten the lives in the protected floodplain downstream. An unarmored spillway is not in conformance with current FERC engineering regulations. They decided to ignore that because they did not want to invest money into it. Who's to blame? FERC is to blame. DWR is to blame. And the stingy billionaire and millionaire water contractors are to blame because in spite of these warnings, it failed. Mm-hmm. And it came damn close to breaking that concrete weir at the top. If that would have broken, we would have lost 30 to 50 feet, maybe more, of that reservoir all in a big gush. It wouldn't have just been Oroville. It would have been Palermo. Right. It would have been Marysville. It would have been Yuba City. Who knows how far down the catastrophe, the drownings, the property loss would have been, not to mention the environmental degradation. There's a group up here called the Northern California Water Association, and they purportedly look out for the interests of water up in Northern California. Bill Croyle is the acting director of the Department of Water Resources, and he was amongst several speakers at the annual meeting of NACWA, the Northern California Water Association, that was held at the Sierra Nevada Brewery on March 3rd. Croyle told the crowd of several hundred people, inferring that there was no way his agency could have foreseen the overtopped weir of the Oroville Reservoir. He claimed that the last big storm poured, quote, on us with no notice. Environmental advocates have been warning DWR that the unarmored spillway would not withstand a spilling reservoir, but contractors throughout the state decided it wasn't worth spending the money. That's what it comes down to, is they feel like we don't have the political will and the political power up here. I disagree. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at water issues in the Northern Sacramento Valley and looking at the 99% of us who are not in a position to market water. And the 1% with senior water rights who are in a position to market water, who own and operate these facilities. And you cannot tell me that the 99% of us, here's Bill Connolly, Supervisor Bill Connolly, a proud conservative, and Jim Brobeck, a proud liberal. And we are in complete unity on this issue. We need to get the state to start paying a fair price for the water up here so that the income is distributed in a way so that we don't have so many people committing crime to survive, having to go on welfare to survive, or being desperate for a decent job. There are jobs out there in forest management that that are not necessarily timber related, that have to do with managing the forest with fire. The watershed needs to be managed so that this reservoir has clean, reliable water. The watersheds are being managed for fiber, not for water, even though water is the vast majority of the commodity output of the Feather River watershed. By far, 60 to 80%, according to the Sierra Nevada Ecosystem Report, of the commodity output of the Sierra is water, not timber. And yet these politicians in Washington and Sacramento continue to say, oh, forest management needs to pay for itself. We can do it by harvesting big fire-resilient trees. We need to start managing the forest by using water receipts that are making people millionaires in the real estate in Southern California, in the agricultural fields of the Central Valley, all the way from Butte County down to Kern County. These millionaire investors who own these farms need to start spreading the wealth so that we manage this resource in a way that that is safe, number one, and number two is sustainable. What we have right now is obviously not sustainable.
Right.
That reservoir is filling up with dirt. That forest is being mismanaged by plantation forestry and by fire suppression rather than allowing and using fire for its natural function of restoring the watershed. And that takes a lot of workers, a lot of highly trained, highly skilled, permanent job workers. And I think that the entire water and forest infrastructure, if properly managed and properly financed, would be a great boon to the economy of Northern California. And if it's not, it's going to flood us. It's going to be a catastrophe. It's going to be worse than it is.
And one of my questions, my follow-up question to this, to both of you, Supervisor Connolly and Jim Brobeck, is, you know, how do we start to renegotiate? But in the meantime, I do have an email from Juanita. She asks, are the local counties going to be stuck paying for all the road damage caused by all the by the rock trucks, heavy equipment, etc.? Our roads are being destroyed.
That's a very fair question. First, a little disclaimer. You know, Jim gets off a little left of me, and I appreciate that. I'm not going to condemn my local congressman or anybody else on these subjects. That's a debate for voters to take up. But I appreciate your position. On the roads, yes, we have inventoried the roads, and Butte County found at least $19 million in damage up to date. Could exceed $29 million. We've asked DWR to pay that. They haven't said no. They said they're going to do Canyon Drive, which is off of 162 to the dam, which is totally destroyed right now. And my question, I'm going to be blunt. I said to our public works director, get that in a contractual agreement. And so far we don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little hesitant to say they're going to actually do what they said they'll do, repair the damage to our roads. The city of Oroville also has a lot of damaged roads. There was a lot of latitude in who came up the roads, like overburdened, not properly inspected for a while. The Highway Patrol notified us that they would crack down on that. So my answer to you, Juanita, is that we, the county, want to hold them accountable, but it is to be seen if we have to go to court, if they'll just voluntarily do it.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. We're talking about the Oroville Dam. I have Supervisor Bill Connolly in the studio here with me, as well as Jim Brobeck. I have a call here from Paul, who asked the question, who do we lean on? And, of course, that's my question, as always, as well, is who actually has the power that we need to get to make decisions? Who do we have to talk with? Who do you, Supervisor Connolly, have to talk with to renegotiate those water contracts and so on and so on and so on? And let me just read real quick an email that I got from Maria, who says, knowing that weather patterns and climate change are certainly happening, isn't this the perfect time to explore and tap best engineered design concepts for the 21st century to redesign the whole water catchment and management concept for the North State to serve the needs of our communities, rethink big agriculture and urban development in Southern California? It's the perfect time to start at square one and tap the potential of new young minds and the NGSS for next generation science standards to prepare for our future. Rethink all of it. Anyway, so I want to throw it out to either one of you.
This is Bill. I have no argument with that email. It absolutely makes sense. If you live in a desert, then you need to take into consideration your climate and quit depending on Northern California to supply all your water needs. I mean, every time we supply water to Southern California, it creates this artificial dependency on something that could be broken. And that's why the governor is pushing so hard for tunnels. He knows the Delta could be broke. They know the weather patterns could be broke. So being a representative of my people in Northern California for different reasons than maybe an environmental community, I just want us made whole up here. I just want my grandkids to enjoy the water we have and enjoy the life we have. I mean, we give up a lot. We have more rain, right? We have more cloudy days. We don't have the wealth of Southern California. Then why are we dependent on to just supply that water willy-nilly for next to nothing? So that's where I come from. Probably not as environmentally correct, but more looking at the money and the impact of my community.
And I just to throw it out there, to just respond, to kind of piggyback on what you just said, Supervisor Connolly, Chris writes and says, I'm enjoying this conversation. Bill Connolly has never been so relatable to my views. These guys are great together. I feel there are great points that is being made that usually aren't talked about. It feels like the flow of the conversation is great, and that makes me hesitant to ask my question as it's barely relatable to the conversation at hand. I feel what's being discussed is more important than my local road issue. So, and my issue doesn't fit. Anyway, but so let's go back to I think what everybody wants to know is, here we are, one of the poorest counties in the state of the very prosperous state of California. The reason it's so prosperous is because of ag industry in a lot of ways, very dependent on our water up here. We are, in your words, we're shortchanged. And so how do we renegotiate? Who do we have to apply pressure to? Is it the feds? Is it state? Who do we talk to? And who are our representatives that we should be calling to say, isn't it your job to be renegotiating on our behalf? Because we do appreciate what you're doing, Supervisor Connolly, but I'm wondering if there's other people that should be in this fight on our team.
Well, this is Supervisor Connolly saying that Butte County's united in our efforts to negotiate a fair relicensing deal, fair treatment by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and the water contractors who pay DWR. We're united. All five of us are good. And Bruce Alpert, our county council, has been nothing but a bulldog on this. He actually convinced me that this collaboration and cooperation thing that they had going on through relicensing was shortchanging us, and it definitely was. When you look at it in a realistic manner, I won't get into details. That'd be a whole show in itself. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to go to our representatives, such as Gallagher, who has shown an interest in looking at keeping our community whole. Then it's Nielsen, LaMoffa. Those are our electeds. I mean, we could disagree how they got there. They are our electeds. You need to talk to them and tell them we want to be made whole. We don't want to be looked at as some stepchild of Southern California that supplies water to them without consideration to the impact to our community, not only economically, and I will say this, environmentally. I'm not a huge environmentalist, but when you fly down the Feather River from the dam to the outlet, which I asked to do yesterday, and you see that silted up mess, this dark brown river, you know that is damaging our environment. There can't be a salmonoid alive in that river, in my mind. I mean, I'm not a biologist, but prove it to me they are. I mean, I think that needs to be rectified. I think we need to be treated fairly. It shouldn't be a negative impact to our community. And in the future, we need to be considered in any decisions they make in supplying water to Southern California from this facility.
Jim Brobeck?
We've got three branches of government. The executive branch under Governor Brown wants to make sure the tap remains open. In fact, he's willing to build two new taps to tap into Northern
California. And, Jim,
California
I was
water.
Surprised by that. I got to interject.
Yeah.
I thought Governor Brown would come up here and say, we're going to make this the safest facility in the country, and by God, we're going to spend the money. But he didn't.
He came up here and hid.
And he said we're going to pay higher taxes to do something that supplies water to Southern California. I thought he was more moderate than that in a way. It's shocking to me.
So,
I'm sorry to say that, but I really am.
Okay, three branches. The executive branch
shocked.
Is under control.
No, I was shocked.
Is under control of the big money. The legislative branch is split up. Now we've got our supervisors. They're a legislative branch. We need to support our supervisors on these water issues. They are unified against such schemes as groundwater substitution transfers.
Absolutely
do not want to see water get sucked out of here down the rivers and have people start growing rice on groundwater so that they can sell their water. That's going to impact everybody else. And we've got the judicial branch. We cannot forget the judicial branch. Aqua Alliance, although we do have close communication with our local and state legislators, we take advantage of the legal branch of government to challenge things that are unfair, that are unwise and unsustainable. Butte County does it too. Butte County's fighting the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission on the relicensing of this so that they don't get the long-term license. They keep operating on one-year licenses because we do have a bulldog county council that's just keeping us on track on this and not giving up. So I want to really put the praise out there for our Butte County supervisors on our water issues. But we need to recognize that occasionally we need to challenge things in court. And we have a great deal of power in court. One of the things that needs to be done on this whole fiasco with the Oroville Reservoir is we need to get some forensic evidence to find out what the hell happened with that concrete spillway. I've seen some photographs of them out there a couple of years ago with pickup trucks driving on it and looking at a crack in it. Last year, apparently, they did a aerial inspection. I don't even think they got out there and looked at it last year during the driest period in recorded California history. And talk about a destabilized climate. Last year was the driest one on record. What is this year? Am I wrong? Is this year the wettest one on record?
Right.
Talk about swings. These are the kind of climate variations that we've got to design modern structures for. But we need to find out who's accountable. Who dropped the ball on this? Who knew that spillway was decomposing and didn't do anything about it until they were putting 100,000 cubic feet a second down it and the thing dissolved underneath the force of that water? Someone should have known about that. Someone should be held accountable. And we need to be made whole. And I think we're going to have to do it through the court system. I'm wondering, is this emergency petition of Butte County, California, to require the licensee to correct safety deficiencies and establish a public safety program? Bill, this legal challenge, you said that it got thrown out of court. Is there still an effort to hold people accountable and to be made whole in court?
Butte County, the Board of Supervisors, I can't say enough. From Larry Wall, Maureen Kirk, Steve Lambert, and Doug Teeter, just so you know that we're all united, all five of us, in finding some sort of economic justice here. And we believe that this was a man-made incident mm-hmm. to a person. It's not me out in front of them. We're all united that this is a man-made incident. We've asked again, it's in the Third District Court of Appeals, that it be looked at, that the climate's changed. And we could argue from left or right whether it's man-made or not. It's changed. The cycles mm-hmm. of warm rain on snow have increased. And they're not, they told us it was zero relevant. Then on this latest evacuation, we said, okay, this was caused by man. We've warned you, it's caused by man. We want you, FERC, to order local government to pay for the cost of this evacuation, all the problems associated with it, and it's probably going to be rejected, but we're going to fight the fight. What we need is the public to wake up and understand that we can only overcome this situation if you put pressure on your local electeds, your state level electeds, and we've got a new state federal senator. I almost said state, but whatever your political agenda is, she's our representative. Let's put a little pressure on her to represent us on a federal level to hold people accountable at FERC. In my opinion, I've been there 12 times to talk to FERC. They're just this bureaucracy that wants, you know, A and B to come to consensus and present them this plan that's number C. And we need, hopefully, whether you agree with the new president or not, hopefully appoint somebody that doesn't take the water contractor side against the impacted side. I'm waiting to see that. I have no idea what's going to happen. And that might be some leverage. If FERC would actually, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission gives licenses to these facilities, and if they hold them accountable to, again, public safety and operation, public safety and consideration first, and making us whole behind that, we have hope. I just don't know yet. I just know this. Yeah, Jim, as much as we may disagree on this, we're going to hold people accountable and we're going to fight for it. Right?
I don't see any areas of disagreement, Bill.
I don't.
Well, I'm for more logging than you are. Let's put it that way. I'm good for logging. I mean.
Well, it's funny. We only have a couple more minutes, and I have a whole bunch of questions that people have been emailing in and on the phone on people calling in. But I have to say, Supervisor Connolly, you keep saying that you're not an environmentalist, but you are, because it's so obvious that you just love and appreciate this. Okay, sorry. We won't make that public. Sorry, nobody's listening. So. But just to kind of, in the last couple of minutes, I have an email here from Kay who asks, how can we insist on transparency and not allow a cover-up? I have a caller that called in and left the question. I've heard a rumor that that the dam was not built with steel, had no rebar in it. And then also my last question is, just sort of an observation, is we have, I knew the number the other day, I don't know, $50 billion in infrastructure repairs that are needed across the country. And it seems like as a nation, we are neglecting our infrastructure. And so, of course, I can't let everybody go without mentioning, how do we even start to think about building a new reservoir like Sites Reservoir if we don't even have the money to maintain for safety of the existing infrastructure? So in the last couple of minutes, if you guys want to answer any of those, that'd be great.
I'll start with the infrastructure. It's a prioritization. If we choose to fix our infrastructure above other programs that may hurt some people, I mean, we may not allow as many people to get certain types of aid or whatever to fix our infrastructure, or we choose to raise taxes, which I'm not for, I'm just saying, we could improve our infrastructure. The rebar question, I don't have a firm answer, although every picture I've seen of spoils, there is some rebar in the concrete. I don't think that's what caused it to break. I think it was a failure of inspection and to fix the undermining. I'm not an engineer, but if you got a hollow piece of concrete, you ought to fix what's under it. And I don't remember the third question.
The third question is, let me go back. It is, how can we insist on transparency?
I think transparency is when poor Mr. Krolls. I mean, this guy came from San Joaquin Valley, water quality, he's interim director. I have no personal hate for him or anybody else locally at DWR. I hate the system. I hate the treatment of us. But this poor guy gets up there, and he starts calling the emergency spillway, which we know as locals is a catastrophic event, crash the mountain down, crash the spillway over, and save the dam sort of situation, and starts calling it the alternative. everybody ought to get on the internet. Everybody ought to get on the phone and call them out. The other thing is, what's this bull? I almost said a bad word.
FCC.
Yeah, I almost said a bad word. What's this thing about how many generators are operating under the dam?
Yeah.
Let's be transparent. They've been broke a lot. Yeah. I mean, just recently you might have got five going, but let's be honest. And the river valve, poorly designed, spills 2,000 to 4,000 feet per second when it could do hundreds of thousands. It's 11-foot tall tunnel. That's the kind of transparency we need from DWR, i.e. the water contractors in the state. They need to be totally open with us. And then the other thing, I'll just jump on this. Oh, it's not going to go over the emergency spillway. I'm talking to Bruce Alpert. We're getting ready to go to bed. We're doing this touch, you know, contact on the phone. The math doesn't add up. Now, he's a lawyer. I'm a self-employed roofer, and I know that the dam's going to overflow.
Mm-hmm. The inflow and outflow numbers.
Thank you. The math didn't add up. Transparency. Be honest with us. Let people make their own decisions. Let them know what needs to be evacuated, which Corey Honey, the hero he is coming up with three different plans for us. We didn't have that before. I think transparency is being honest, letting people know the risk, and let them make their own decisions and move forward with that total honesty. Go ahead, Jim.
Supervisor Connolly, Bill.
I know you're
my friend. You got the last word.
You're
brother.
Causing me to reevaluate my strict rule against no politicians in the studio. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You almost put us into violation with the FCC. I got to bring you back in the future.
Right.
So that's great, Jim Brobeck. Any last words from you?
I'm with Bill Connolly.
All right. All right. Well, listen, thanks to the both of you. I had, Jim, last time you were on the program a few weeks ago, I had many people contact me and say, I got information that I never heard before. And these are water people. So, Jim Brobeck, you always bring a lot to this. And Supervisor Connolly, I really so deeply appreciate having you here today and really speaking from the heart and really fighting the good fight for your community, for your constituents, for Northern California.
I want to put one shout out to all the people impacted by the evacuation. My heart's with you. I love you. And anything I can do to help you, let me know.
And you're welcome back at any point. Thank you so much to Supervisor Bill Connolly as well as Jim Brobeck. It's always a pleasure,